BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
She's probably the best-known scientist working on Earth today. I'm going to use an analogy here. I call Jennifer the scientific cognate of Beyoncé.
We're looking to the future this week, to a brave new genetically engineered world where genetic diseases can be eradicated and scientists have the potential to control evolution, changing the lives of everyone and everything on the planet. It all stems from a discovery made by our subject, the US biochemist Jennifer Doudna, the scientist behind probably the greatest biological breakthrough in decades, a simple tool for altering DNA.
I think for the first time, really, we sort of as a species, we have the power to control our own DNA at that level. And the technology is still developing. There are still technical challenges to work out, but we can see that this is coming.
Doudna and her collaborator, Emmanuel Charpentier, announced their findings back in 2012. While studying how bacteria defend themselves against viral infection, they discovered that a natural system known as CRISPR could be used by biologists to interfere and make precise changes to DNA.
It changed the world overnight. It's as if, you know, we've suddenly been able to open our eyes and see the world in a completely different light. Certainly in my 35 years in science, that one paper, Jennifer's 2012 science paper, is probably the most significant scientific publication to have come out.
Fyodor Ernov, one of the world's leading experts on gene editing. The technology works by making a naturally occurring enzyme cut out a defective part of DNA like a pair of microscopic scissors. It might sound complicated, but it's much simpler, cheaper, and more efficient than previous gene editing methods and could prove vital in treating genetic diseases in future, everything from cancer and HIV to cystic fibrosis and heart disease.
Okay, thank you.
At the end of last year, a Chinese scientist shocked the world by claiming he'd used it to create two genetically modified babies, altering the DNA of their embryos before birth, with the aim of preventing their father's HIV being passed on to them. Now, this week comes a further development. A Swiss drug company announcing it's beginning a trial using CRISPR technology to treat a patient with a dangerous blood disease. But it's not without risk. Some fear things have already gone too far, allowing scientists to play God, to tamper with nature. So what do we know about Jennifer Doudna, the woman credited with opening this genetic Pandora's box? Let's lift the lid and find out. Although born in Washington, D.C., Doudna was actually raised in Hawaii. She moved to the island in the early 1970s when she was seven, after her father got a job teaching literature at Hawaii University. They settled in a town with just a few white families. Doudna told Radio 4's The Life scientific programme that she struggled to fit in.
It's an island that has an incredibly rich cultural history of different groups from around the, particularly South Pacific, that have come to Hawaii over long periods of time. But there was also a lot of distrust, I would say, of Caucasians like me that were moving to Hawaii in that decade. And so I felt, I was in a racial minority, actually. And I often felt a very strong sense of resentment from my classmates and from other just people that I would encounter in the town that I had to learn how to deal with.
Gina Pogel was a close friend of Doudna's in high school. She says white girls, or howlies as locals called them, were often bullied.
At one point, these girls locked my science teacher in the closet and held my hand over a Bunsen burner.
That's not nice.
No, there were some parts of school you could have a knife pulled on you. I was pushed downstairs. I mean, it was really hard for howlies in school at that time.
Doudna's response was to escape into a world of her own. Her parents had a passion for astronomy, geology and evolution. They filled the house with popular science books. When she was 12, her father gave her a copy of The Double Helix, James Watson's book about discovering the structure of DNA. It inspired her, and before long, Doudna was exploring the island's volcanic landscape, collecting samples to examine under the microscope. A clever girl, says Gina Pogel, sharp in maths and science, but careful not to appear too clever in school.
yeah, if you were a good student, some people got mad. I can see where people would have been jealous of her.
Encouraged by her school science teacher, Doudna did a chemistry degree at college in California. She followed that with a biochemistry PhD at Harvard University, then a series of research fellowships, trying to get to grips with how molecular structures called RNA enzymes worked. Her interest in gene editing didn't really start until 2005, and it came about by accident. Asked to help Jill Banfield, a colleague at the University of California, with some curious bacteria she had found while wading through toxic wastewater in an abandoned mine.
Someone suggested that Doudna should get together with Banfield, and they had coffee. And at some point, Banfield turns to Doudna and says, I found this kind of bacteria out in the wild, and it has these weird strands of DNA that keep repeating over and over and over.
But it was another chance encounter with a microbiologist which led to the breakthrough. Megan Molteni, science writer for Wired magazine, takes up the story.
In 2011, at a scientific conference in Puerto Rico, Doudna meets another scientist from Europe named Emmanuel Charpentier. She was French, but she was working at the time in Sweden, and they really hit it off at the conference.
The pair agreed to work together. Doudna asked her lab colleague, Martin Jinek, now an assistant professor at the University of Zurich, to carry out a series of experiments. And within a year, he'd made some startling findings.
We basically discovered that we had these molecules that could potentially be repurposed for gene editing in other cells, in other organisms than just bacteria. We all got very excited about the prospect of that. Just the fact that we had a system that we could program using RNA molecules to cut DNA, this in itself was a pretty fundamental discovery.
Megan Molteni again.
Jennifer Doudna was one of the first scientists to realize that you could take that system and you could hijack it to your own whims. And so you could say, I want to pick out a mutation that causes a disease like cystic fibrosis. And now I can, using CRISPR, program this molecular scissors to go only to that place where that cystic fibrosis mutation is and cut it out.
The result of the experiment came through in the form of an image. And so I was standing at the instrument as the image was generating kind of one line at a time. I was just standing there with kind of my heart racing and very excited. And I remember having this incredible feeling when it turned out exactly how we predicted it would work out.
I remember leaning over the light box in the lab and looking at the results of an experiment with Martin Jinek and looking at each other and saying, wow, you know, this is an incredible protein and it seems likely to be useful for genome editing.
In August 2012, they published their findings in the journal Science and watched the scientific world go wow.
This tool is now used by hundreds, if not thousands, of labs around the world. There are companies aiming to use these tools for creating therapeutics or therapeutic strategies for genetic diseases. It's incredible how far the technology has progressed in such a short span of time.
But by 2014, Doudna was beginning to worry.
I had sort of this growing unease, and my unease came because I had the feeling that, you know, the science was moving faster than anyone outside of the scientific community could appreciate. I realized, for example, that nobody in our government or in our regulatory agencies had any idea that this was going on.
Megan Molteni.
In 2014, she had actually received an email from a journalist who was asking her to comment on a new paper that was coming out of China where scientists had used CRISPR to edit monkeys. And they asked her, what do you think about this? And what is the potential for designer babies down the road? And I think that was a real wake-up call to her that this was moving faster than even she had anticipated. And starting at that point, she actually stepped back from her work in the lab and began working to organize scientists and also a lot of non-scientific communities to get together and talk about what sorts of values of our society were going to govern the ways in which it could be used.
Since then, Jennifer Doudna has been on a mission, arguing and campaigning for responsible, ethical use of her gene editing tool, fearful that if placed in the wrong hands, CRISPR technology could be put to damaging use. Fyodor Ernov has been an outspoken critic of genetically editing embryos.
I will admit to having been stunned speechless when I saw the news of this alleged engineering of CRISPR babies in China. I spoke to many colleagues, and none of us thought that somebody would go rogue that far. So I think it's really been sort of a cold shower for all of us in the field who thought that we can police ourselves as a community. We've really become a lot more sober and clear-eyed about the need to understand how to make sure that the technology is ultimately used for the public good.
Megan Molteni says Doudna only learned of the case at the last minute and was appalled.
I think that was a real trying moment for her. At the conference, she said that she was disgusted by what she had heard, that she was deeply disappointed, and I think on a visceral level, to some extent, seeing something that she had helped bring into the world be used with no regard for the safety and future of those two baby girls in China was really hard for her.
There's now something akin to a CRISPR gold rush underway. Hundreds, thousands of biotech and drug firms adopting the technology for applications in animals, plants, humans, fungi, and other bacteria and organisms.
It's having kind of this world built around DNA in this new and interesting way. So it's materials that you encounter every day in your life that, you know, for as long as humans have been around, we've had to kill an animal or dig up a plant or cut down a tree to kind of create the material world around us, to our houses and our buildings and our furniture and our food and our clothing. And CRISPR opens the possibility for a world where all of those things are not, you know, harvested from the natural world, but they're actually grown in a biorefinery somewhere by an organism that has been taught how to make that thing by CRISPR.
It is objectively true that Jennifer's discovery launched all of this. I think we all owe it to this technology to make sure it does the world good. 10 to 20 years from now, when we look back at 2019, will we have judged CRISPR as having been a strongly net positive or, at the end of the day, a net negative? I'm an optimist. I really think that it's going to lead to cures for genetic disease, better crops and animals for ag, deeper understanding of living systems. It's up to us, the scientific community, the policymakers, the regulators, to make sure that happens.
Doudna herself has been involved in a lengthy legal battle over the patenting rights, which she lost. She's set up a company to try to commercialise the technique and sits on the boards of half a dozen or more. It's a potentially hugely lucrative business, but it's also an opportunity, it's hoped, to help people who are suffering, to potentially change the lives of people with serious genetic conditions. People like Jennifer Doudna's old school friend, Gina Pogel.
And I also have kind of a personal reason for cheering her on as well. I mean, about 10 years ago, five doctors told me that I had terminal cancer. So it turned out that they were all wrong, and I have this rare autoimmune thing instead, but it also makes it very likely that I will get some form of aggressive cancer. So I follow her in the news partially as an old friend, but also avidly as someone who this could help.
Thank you for listening to Profile. The presenter was Mark Coles, and the programme was produced by Viv Jones and Terrell Ahmedzadeh. To hear all our episodes, subscribe to the show on BBC Sounds.